Praise the Lord, everyone. Can we give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? It is an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning. I can tell you, I feel so strongly in my spirit that today I am not away from home. I'm at home. Amen. Because home is where the family of God resides. And when you are with the family of God, you are at home no matter where you are. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Bishop Ellis had such a powerful word yesterday evening, and he talked about going deep. Going deep. And so today, what we have studied, and Bishop Ellis and our family, we did not talk about what we were all going to speak on. We did not discuss it, but the Lord was in his word, and the Lord, I believe, has given us a word today for you. We are going to talk about the tabernacle. And I know some of you may have heard lessons on the tabernacle. We are not going to give you the same lesson that you've heard on the tabernacle. You're all grateful. Some of you may have heard lessons about praying through the tabernacle. That is something that is wonderful, and to pray through the tabernacle is not something that we teach against. You should pray through the tabernacle. Some of you may have heard that you can receive salvation through a tabernacle plan. That is also true. We do not suggest that that's not true. But what we are going to bring you today is a different idea of what the tabernacle represents and how it represents us as a body and us individually. So the tabernacle, and we have, I believe, a PowerPoint, and so we'll see if we can get the first slide up. If we can't, we'll keep going anyway. We'll keep going regardless. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this is, if you can see, this is just a depiction of what the tabernacle looked like during the time when the Israelites were traveling. And on the outside of the tabernacle, you see what is called the outer gate. This is the outer barrier of the tabernacle. And it's a powerful, powerful depiction because when the Lord talks to us, he says, let's move to first, I'm going to just read to you a few scriptures. And the media team in the back, you do not have to put every scripture up. If you don't get to it, that's fine. I'll read them. If you can, great. If not, no big deal. But Exodus chapter 25, beginning at verse 8, says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." And then Hebrews, beginning at chapter 8 and verse 5, says, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the amount." And then 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So when we look at the tabernacle, and we know we are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, when we look at the tabernacle, we are looking at an archetype of ourselves. Can everyone say amen? Even the construct of the tabernacle, the outer gate, It was made of wood poles. And stretched across those wooden poles was linen, much like skin stretched across bones. And so what we are going to propose to you is that if we are living bodily examples of the tabernacle, that in our bodies we can see the outer gate being the expression of our physical form, and how we move into the state of worship is by going from first in our body a sense of thanksgiving to God. Because before we can reach worship, we have to begin offering up thanksgiving to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because we can't get to the place, to the Holy of Holies, to where we meet God, unless we first can find the thanksgiving in ourselves. And I will say this, the enemy doesn't want us to reach that Holy of Holies.
Right.
He will do whatever he can to thwart our progress into the tabernacle experience. And so when we move from thanksgiving in our bodies into the holy place or the inner court, we've moved into praise. Because when you move from thanksgiving, before you can reach worship, your soul has to be engaged. So in your body, you begin to lift up and magnify the Lord. In your body, the expression of what you're doing, the fruit of your lips, your body begins to worship the Lord through thanksgiving. And as you move into that, it becomes more than just lip service. It gets into your spirit. It gets into your soul. Your will becomes engaged. It's no longer, I'm just doing this. Oh, we have to raise our hands, clap. It's time to clap. It's time to praise. It's time to dance. It starts becoming real.
Amen.
It starts becoming genuine. You start feeling something, the stirring in your soul. And as we start taking out the things in us that are preventing us to getting closer to the King,
right,
our worship is magnified.
Right.
Our praise is stirred. And we can feel the closeness of the Lord as we draw nearer and nearer and nearer to Him. And what is amazing is we have liberty that the children of Israel never had. The camp of the Israelites were not permitted to go into the Holy of Holies. They were not permitted to enter through and go beyond just the place of sacrifice. That was as far as they could go. But because of Jesus, because of Jesus and his sacrifice, he became the bread, he became the wine, he became the blood. And when the veil was rent, we were able to supernaturally step over that barrier into a place of worship where we can feel the King of Kings, not just around us, but in us. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thanksgiving is the first part to get to that place of worship. It relates to God's goodness. And it is usually done by the fruit of our lips. There are days when I don't feel a spirit of thanksgiving. I'm burdened. I'm stressed. I'm pressed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm pressured. I'm heavy. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like offering thanksgiving. But if I can get my body to respond, where I say, I will not stay at home, I will go to the house of the Lord. In my body, if I can make my way to the outer court, I've begun the process to get to the Holy of Holies. You cannot expect a miracle if you are unwilling to move towards the answer. You cannot expect to walk in the miraculous if you are not walking towards the miracle maker. You may say in your spirit, I am struggling, and the enemy's job is to disconnect each of us from the body. Because if he can disconnect us, if he can overwhelm our spirit to the point that we pull away, he knows we will never make it to the answer that we need. The Bible says he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I don't know if you've ever seen how the lions find their prey, but they look for the ones on the edge, the ones that are weak, the ones that are small, the ones that are not in the middle of the herd, the ones that have pulled away, the ones that don't have the strength to carry on, the ones that have no longer gone to the herd for the protection. And as he finds those, he can pick them off. But it's amazing. If you see some of the herds, I saw a documentary one time of the lions trying to get their prey. And this was incredible. The little gazelles. He thought he found one on the edge. He thought he saw one that was perfect to take away as prey. And that little gazelle was strong. And so to show that lion, you don't want anything from me. I don't have anything for you. That little gazelle started jumping. Not running, jumping. Just to show the lion, I have so much energy, I can run and I can jump. When we enter in and into the tabernacle experience, if we can show the enemy, I don't just have to run from you, I have the energy to jump. There's something that God has done good for me. I can leap before the Lord. I can dance before the King of Kings. I'm not weak. I am strong in him who's made me perfect. I am strong in him who has perfected my faith. Not because I am so worthy. Not because I have the ability to make it. But he has given me the strength to say, I am like a deer that panteth by the water. He restoreth my
goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord in safety. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. But we can't get to worship just with thanksgiving. If you stop there, you've missed praise. You've missed the next key component to the tabernacle experience. And God doesn't want you to just go halfway. If he meant that, the veil would never have been rent. But the veil was rent. We aren't supposed to be halfway Christians. I don't get to say, I only want so much of God. Who am I that I can tell the master how to build my ship? What's amazing is the Bible says that we are in the hands of the potter. And as he forms us into vessels, sometimes he will take and he'll say, this one's not good, we're gonna redo it. But he's constantly remaking us into what he wants us to be. But what kind of vessel are we going to be? And you know what is unique about a vessel? It holds things. It holds things. We aren't meant to be vessels that are empty. We are meant to be vessels that are filled. But there is a difference between being filled up with water and then being thrown into the ocean, so that no longer is it that my vessel is just simply filled up with Jesus, but I am going deeper in him, so that I have gone so deep that no longer am I simply holding the water, but the water is holding me. And there's something fearful about allowing the water to have its way, because you lose control. My personality likes control. I love it. I like order. I like sequence. It's part of my job. I love it. I like things tidy, minimalist. I love it. I wouldn't have toys for my children if I could help it. Don't tell them that. I give them toys. I give them toys. I like control. But what God calls us when he says go deeper is he says, give me control. So when you are in me and the current pushes your vessel, you go, here I am, Lord. Take me where you're going to go. I will tell you, we have been in a storm, and I believe that it's not just our family, but it has been a season, I believe, for God's people, because I believe his time is near of return. But we have felt the storm around us. And I had a dream in Singapore. I only told my family this dream. Now I'm telling my family this dream. The first night I was here in Singapore, though, I had a dream that we were in a house and I could see windows and there was a huge tornado. And it had picked up the house. But there were so many people in this home. I was in this home, and faces of people I did not know were in this home. And we were all on the top floor, like an upper room. And everyone in that room was going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And as I looked at the storm and what had frightened me, all of a sudden, I felt the Lord in its possibility. Because what I had looked at and saw as evil, as we began saying, Jesus, I felt God in the winds directing the house to where it needed to be. And even though the house dropped in my dream and I felt that sense of foreboding, that sense of crashing, that sense of ultimate demise, I could feel the Lord's hand through the storm, catching, moving. And all of a sudden, I was able to look at the storm and see that God himself was the wind. It wasn't that the storm was evil. It was, where is my answer for what I see? What am I looking at? And as you come here today, what I propose to you is we can all think of things that we should be doing. We can all think of things that we need to do. We can all think of places where we could go. But you're here today at DCD saying, I want to go deeper. I want God to guide me. And in your storm, if you will let him guide you, he will take you to the place of safety. And in my dream, and when I woke up, God had taken that home and perfectly placed it right down next to a vessel that was able to take every single person out of the home and to safety. And I woke up not feeling discouraged, but feeling reminded that God, when he is with you, there is no storm that can overtake you. But that is why the tabernacle experience is so important. Because if you can get past the point of thanksgiving, the fruit of your lips, from what you can say maybe lip service, because sometimes that's as good as it gets initially. Sometimes you just have to go. Sometimes you just have to say, I will do it. Some days being a Christian is just simply doing by faith. You may not like it, but you do it because you have faith to believe that God has a plan even for this. To praise. It becomes real. Your soul is engaged. It's not just something that you're doing any longer. You can say, I'm putting the nets back in the water. Initially, and this is what Bishop said, and this was what was powerful. They didn't believe. Initially, they put in one net. If they had believed, would they not have put in all their nets? But sometimes, if you can just say, I will just, through obedience. And Bishop said, he went in obedience to receive prayer. And he said, I'm doing this in obedience. Some days, you just have to operate in obedience. Some days, you just have to be willing to say, I will be in submission. I will obey. I will allow someone to bridle me and push me this way. I don't like it, but I will go. I will take the hand of correction. I will not become offended. I don't like it, but I will go. And if you can do that, God will honor your sacrifice at the gate. And then your soul will be engaged. And then you will enter into the Holy of Holies with worship. True and sincere worship. And it won't be these that worship on this mountain and these that worship on this mountain. It will be the holy nation. It will be the holy people, not the Jews, not a specific Singaporeans, not the Filipinos, not the Americans, but the people, the family of God. I feel right now in the Holy Ghost that some of you have come with burdens, that some of you have come with situations for which you have no answers, that you have come with storms in your lives that you have looked at and you have felt that they have been sent to destroy you. I believe right now that God is reaching some individuals in this room right now, and that he is calling some of you to a place, to the tabernacle experience through the outer gate. You are here today as an expression of your belief. If not, you would not be here. I'm going to ask my mother to come.